Yep. Well, good morning again, church.
Good morning.
Thank you, Greg,
for giving me the honor to come on a special day like this. Two reasons. One, for introducing your dad to me. I think I had three meals with him, three different times. The greatest compliment he's ever given me was he said my rice was the best rice he's ever eaten. He's 89 years old. He's eaten a lot of rice. And I'm sure, I believe him. I mean, he liked it so much that he loaded his plate at least three times and then took some more home with him. So I was really, that was a special, special compliment for me. And not only a compliment, his eyes always has a twinkle with affirmation. He's so good. It's very easy for him to do that. And the other day, Jennifer and I were talking, said every time his father would meet Craig and Jill, they would see, he definitely saw Jesus in them. And on the day of his passing, we believe he saw Jesus just before he departed. So we are confident, Jennifer and I, that we will see him there. Amen? It's about not what you do, it's about who you are. And the thief next to Jesus had no chance to do anything right. But yet Jesus said, this day you'll be with me. That is the tremendous grace. I still remember a few things about his dad. One of the things is that man, the last time I had a meal with him was at a Mexican restaurant. And he came with a nice big hat and great shirt. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what a great impact he has had upon Craig for the last 1 year. Because if you see, there's many improvements in Craig's dressing, you know. I mean, seriously? His father knows how to dress. Every time I met him, he had something really nice. Not that I say you're not well-dressed, but there's a lot of improvement, that much I must say as a friend. good stuff, Greg. I love you. And even at that table, he was giving a lot of affirmation. And so that's where I want to begin our sermon this morning. No, Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for who you are and your word that is eternal and never comes back void. And so this morning, while we remember Ken and the upgraded status of Craig and Jill to be grandparents, they don't know yet what's coming along. I pray a blessing upon that upgraded status in their lives, God. May their hearts be filled with joy as they see Baron growing up before their eyes. We thank you, we praise you, we bless you. And we pray a blessing upon all of us here and those at home listening and hearing. May we all be encouraged by your word. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes when you drive a car or a truck or on the highway and suddenly something goes wrong with your car, you wished you had AAA. And I used to wonder what AAA was. And it's an acronym, of course, but I didn't know what AAA was. So I just found out, just being an Indian, of course. It's called Automobile Association of America, AAA. But I have a different AAA this morning for all of us, and I thought I will talk to us about it. I felt in my heart, as I was asking the Lord, what should I be speaking this morning? I felt, apart from Craig and Jill, there are several here, even though you're few and several at home. There is a place where we all need affirmation, and there is a part, a of the church worldwide that has deficit is we don't affirm one another enough. And the scripture does talk about that, how we need to esteem one another, how we need to speak that into another. It's easy for us to look at all the black dots on the wall and say how wrong this person is. And we remember people for the wrong things rather than the good things. Are you with me this morning? Amen? So the three words that I want to speak this morning is affirmed, approved, and authorized. Those three words that I want to bring it together. It's probably going to be a shortest message that I've ever preached in New Crossing. I'm very careful in saying where. My shortest message was actually 7 minutes long somewhere in the world. And their announcements was 18 minutes long. They told me that the usual time for sermon is 5 minutes. And I was thinking, man, Jennifer must love this church. Because she used to tell me, if you can't say a thing within 20 minutes, you have nothing to say. That's how she rebukes me. But I said, if you can't have patience for 20 minutes or more, then you need a lot of character development. And we go back and forth. You see, affirming is something that God the Father constantly does. And it is even seen when Jesus was being baptized. If you see Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, and he is coming to be baptized. And nobody knew him. Nobody knew where he's coming from. He was not even known by his own town, per se, because there was nothing special at that moment for Jesus. He hadn't done a single miracle yet. He hadn't recruited his crew yet. He was nobody. And he comes to get baptized. And when he's being baptized, suddenly there is a voice that comes from the heavens. Of course, there was this dove and all that there. But I just want to pay attention to the voice that comes from the heaven. And it says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Several of us here have been hearing several voices, and voices come from different places, and the voices have spoken some untruths, which becomes truth for us because we've heard it too many times. So we begin to believe those voices, those negatives that has been spoken to you and me. And it has come back so many times that we become people pleasers rather than God pleasers. Is somebody listening to me? We begin to shape our conduct, our talk, and the way we do things because it's patterned and shaped by people's opinion about us. It is what is most important to us is not people's opinions, it's God's opinion about you and me. Is somebody listening to me? Because there are so many regrets that you and I have. Because I should have, could have, would have. All those haves comes into play when you think that the regrets are around the doing aspect. Here, Jesus hadn't done a thing yet. And yet, God says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." You don't have to do a thing yet. You're already affirmed by God to say that you are my son, you are my daughter. Is somebody listening to me? I mean, somehow we listen to that, and in our world, in the way we are even grown up, we are always pressured by parents. If you do this, I will give you this. If you do that, I will reward you with that. If you do mess up in school, you're an embarrassment to me. That's how we've been growing up. I'm not saying our parenting skills are supposed to be better than that, but it is those kinds of words that come and penetrate within from our childhood. And we begin to think and shape ourselves in our behavior to one another, even it's because of what I do and not who I am. Is somebody listening to me? Amen? And even relationships get soured up because of what we do or not do rather than who we are. We are actually created by God for a relationship. And that relationship is to be enjoyed by one another. Is somebody listening to me? God created us to be friends and friends to be enjoyed and not friends to compete with or friends to compare ourselves with. Because we are uniquely created. We are uniquely different. We are all different created by God. Is somebody listening to me? Amen. So if we came into a church, if there is some sort of thing, oh, I wish that person never came to church today, because you're always comparing yourself and she seems to be more beautiful than you are, or he is smarter than you are, or he is sharper than you are, or he is more talented than you are, and all of the than you are. The comparison is a sin, because if you only knew who you are as a son and a daughter, that is your identity. Your identity is a sonship and daughtership. Is somebody listening? I haven't started preaching yet. I'm just simply laying this this outline here. That the affirmation of God is not in how you look, or not how much you have achieved in life, not in how much you have been educated. It's not in all of those. He just simply said, while you were in your mother's womb, I fearfully and wonderfully crafted you. He knows every fiber of your being. And when the day and the fullness of time came and you were born, God just jumped and danced over you and said, that's my boy, that's my girl, because he knew you even before the foundations of the earth were laid. As God was speaking to Jeremiah in chapter 1, as you scroll down, he says, even before the foundations were laid, I knew you and called you by name. That's my God. That's your God. He knew you. You might say you're 20 years old, 40 years old, 60 years old, or 80 years old, whatever years old. That's chronological age. But actually, he knew you billions of years ago. He had your picture on the wall, and he looked at that, and he says, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's how my Father is in heaven. He created you for a relationship. He didn't create a buffalo in the morning. He'd get up and say, "Bah, good morning, buffalo, how are you?" He got up so that he can talk to you and me. Somebody listening to me. I know I said this before many, many years ago here. You know, when I became a father first, and that was 32 years ago, I didn't know what it means to be a father. But there was something that happened to me, and I longed to hear my son's voice. I longed to hear his voice, because I didn't know how he would sound. Of course, I heard his voice when he would cry for milk or a diaper change. Those are healthy sounds. It depends what time of the day or night it is. But one day I was sitting, and then I heard him say some gibberish words. He was talking baby language. I ran to the crib, and I looked down, and here was my son making some noise. And I looked at him, and he stopped. And I was thinking, oh, man, why did I interrupt this? A few weeks went by, and he kept on making that noise, the baby noise. I'm sure you've been around babies. I picked up my son and looked at him, and as he was speaking, it felt as though he was speaking to me. Now look at me. I'm a fully grown adult guy. I'm holding my baby, and I'm looking at him. Yeah. Really? Yes. You're my boy. I'm talking gibberish back to him as if he could understand. Are you listening to me? Hello? That's not what he did, but for who he was, and he was trying to communicate, and I was trying to communicate. That's my Father. He loves to hear your voice. That's what Songs of Solomon says. I long to hear your voice. I want to be face to face with you. And then Hebrew, that word face to face means breath to breath. That means kiss. So close. Is somebody... God wants you to experience his kiss. When people have rejected you, when people have said all manner of negatives about you, when they have compared you with somebody, when they have put you in a place to compete with somebody, the stress of all of being somebody than being who you are. And this is that moment where somebody here, you either you're walking through a situation of a poor self-image, or some heavy weight has been put as an expectation that you must rise up to, and you have failed. Man's expectation, God's expectation of you is simply this: be my child, period. He didn't say, unless you do this, I will love you. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says love has no reserves. It's not like man. You know, I go to my wife many times and repenting for the same thing. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. But 20 times later, my wife would say, oh, I've forgiven you so many times. It's time for you to shape up. And then I love you. God's not like that. Hello? There is no reserve for God's love. To say, unless you shape up, I will love you. I love you unless you be this. Love has no reserves from God. And that's why he loves us passionately regardless. Despite the worst rapist, the worst murderer, the worst anybody, any human being, God passionately loves them. Are you with me? It's impossible for us because we too have limitations, but for God, he loves us. Today, if anything that you're hearing, I want you to hear before you leave that you are affirmed as a daughter, as a son of God. Amen? 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 Amen. Because somebody is sitting here that feels so small, you almost can't do anything right. You feel like you've been sidelined or marginalized. You have done it yourself, and you're thinking people have. But you're very special. I don't care what the devil says or people say. You are very special. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know about you. I am special. Just tell them that. Because every time we look at people and say, you're so special, you're so cool. No, this time say it to yourself. Don't worry about your neighbor. In fact, tell your neighbor, I'm sorry to tell you, I am special today. And that's okay. It's time for you to speak to yourself. That's why the psalmist uses, he spoke to his soul. Be lifted up, O my soul. Be lifted up. Why? Because I'm a child of God. Amen? Every time you see a spiral going down, in your life that you're going down, think who you are. That'll take you back up. Are you with me? Doesn't matter what the circumstances or what things life throws at you, think who you are. Not what you do or what you did that you try to equate before people to say, I have done this, so I must be good. So what? So what? If you walked on the moon, so what? You still die. Hello? So what? The what part here is, I am a son of God. You may have walked on the moon, but I am the son of God. One day I will be ruling the earth. Amen? Say, Sam. No, come on, mean it. Sam, this is good stuff. See, we Indians need that affirmation. I don't know about you guys. You may have some Scandinavian origins, and then you're all very quiet. You don't even want to lift your hands up, but that's okay. But still, you're loved by God. Amen? The second word is approved. Here, this time where we see something different in the second affirmation that God gives, to Jesus was in Matthew in the Transfiguration. Yes, Peter. Kind of reminds like some people you know, right? Who speaks before time. Impulsive speaking. Nevertheless, he meant well. Peter really meant well. You all simply take the gun and shoot him all the time. But he meant well. In that speaking, he misdirects the real intent of the Transfiguration. I won't go into that. That's a whole nother sermon in itself. So as he's speaking, oh, this is a wonderful time. It's so good for us to be here. That's what he's saying. This is actually his exact quote. It's so good for us to be here. Meaning, I'm so glad those nine other guys are down there and we three are here. Kind of elevated status. And then he says something, let's build something here. And at that moment, a cloud comes in and all of them hear this song, this voice. This is my beloved son. Hear him. One of the reasons why he said, hear him, and this time Jesus has already done miracles, already has performed stuff. He's already beginning the discipleship program with his 12 guys that he had. He's already even commissioned, in a sense, said, I have now given you the power to do what? To cast out demons and to heal the sick and cleanse the lepers, and all of the above. He's already given that power. And at that moment, Peter, who has experienced that power, who has already seen himself walking on the water, which he couldn't have done. He's a fisherman. He knows water more than anybody else would. And now he's saying, in that context of his achievement, being with Jesus, he's trying to say something profound. And God says, this is my beloved son, hear him. Shut up, Peter. Don't influence these other two guys with you. Don't try to say we'll put up an edifice for Jesus or for Moses or for Elijah. Are you with me? Hear him. In other words, you don't need validation of man. You need validation from God for whatever you do, for whatever you have walked in obedience. Because some of us are constantly looking for validation from men. When I say men and women too, are you with me? Validation. This morning, some of you need to be broken off from the chains of people's validation and be able to hear the validation of God upon your life. You're always trying to get validation from your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your cousins, your aunts, and whatever. Your school teacher. You're looking for validation. But that validation, when it comes from God, you have a different kind of authority, which I'll talk in a few minutes. Is somebody listening to me? I'm a minister. I'm an ordained person. And how I got ordained, that's another story. I was speaking actually a long, long time ago in a Lutheran church, a very high Lutheran church, where they wear a robe. And so I was a guest speaker that put on the robe and the vestry, everything, and I'm coming and said, I have not yet met the pastor, but I'm sitting right next to him after the fact. And then he asks me, how should I introduce you? Which seminary did you go to? And I said, no, I have not been to a seminary. You're not been? Are you ordained? I said, no. I'm so sorry, you can't preach. He said, you can't preach. So I said, oh, but thank you for being here. And so he goes up. He says, we have a guest. Sam, who's a missionary, and we welcome him. And then he goes on to preach. That affected me a lot. So I said, oh, if I have to get validated by a seminary and an ordination, so I'm going to do it. Long story short, I got all that credentials. But 10 years later, I was back in the same church and preached. What's my point here? I was under a pressure when I didn't have to do that. Because when God validates you, Jesus never had Jesus' biblical seminary. Hello. Paul never had, although he had what you call his own schools of allegory. He was profoundly involved in that. Are you with me? But it was not like a regular seminary. But in second century church, they actually had some of those training places. But it was not meant for validation of how much you know, but it was meant for you to have an intimate walk with him. That was the reason why they had that. Is somebody listening to me? Your validation comes from your intimacy with God, not from what you know or how much you know. Not from what experiences you've had in the healings that you've seen or in the deliverances that you have had. It does not come from there. That does not. That is a fringe thing that happens as a result of you following God. Because God himself said, these signs shall follow you. You didn't have to go to seminary for those signs to follow you. Hello? Is somebody listening to me? I'm not downplaying on seminaries. They are important. They are very helpful. They are informative. They are something that we can stand from and speak from a far greater understanding. But if that understanding just turns into just knowledge, then it puffs us up. Amen? Hello? Because if you don't apply that knowledge, it won't become wisdom for you. If you don't apply that wisdom, it won't become principles for you. If you don't apply that principles, it won't become life for you. That's how the word must translate into becoming life. You must be living epistles. Are you with me? Information, knowledge, wisdom, principles, and life. Five processes for it from here to travel to the heart. Somebody listening to me? God is good, isn't he? So, what then does it mean for you to go across the street? That used to be part of your main focus, going across the street. You are validated. You must be validated by God to go across the street. Otherwise, you'll go in a very dysfunctional way. Are you with me? If you go across the street to preach the gospel, just because you've done a DTS, which I'm a YWAMer, and we always talk about that, and now I've changed that. DTS is dying to self every day. Are you with me? Hello? So we're talking about our validation that we will soon talk about being authorized, is if we get our validation from man, we will always have fear of man. But if we are validated by God, we will have the fear of God. It makes it easier for you to go across the street to talk about Jesus when you know you're validated by God. That's when you hear the word, hear him. This is the extension of first, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And not just an endorsement, but something that Jesus was so passionately loved by his father. But this progression of his ministry, you see these two words added, hear him. means I have validated his ministry. He has something to say. You, Peter, have not yet been validated, even though you had some experiences. Are you listening to me? Because Jesus does validate Peter at the end. Is somebody listening to me? And then Peter stands up. Two sermons and 8,000 people come to church. Instantly it becomes a mega church. I mean, Jesus never spoke to 8,000 people at a time. Are you with me? Hello? He did far greater things than Jesus. He walked and his shadow healed. Jesus' shadow didn't heal people, but Peter's shadow did. Greater things than what Jesus did, Peter did. Why? Because he heard the validation from Jesus, not from his colleagues or cohorts of his discipleship seminary. He got the validation from Jesus. Is somebody listening to me? Tomorrow, this church will be explosive, not just in numbers, but explosive in great exploits for God if you only embrace the validation of God first, then the validation of man. Amen? You're approved of God. I get many times this credit card things are pre-approved already. I didn't know my credit history was suddenly so good. Before it was pre-qualified, but now I'm pre-approved. Obviously, I must be doing something right. Hello? That's, what does it say? That means you've been already checked out, checked through. God has already checked through. But we're human. As long as we are on this side of heaven, there will always be errors in our lives. We are not perfect beings, and we will never be perfect beings on this side of heaven. And so if you're trying to live a perfect life, it'll stress you out. Because it's in your imperfections, you see the perfections of God perfecting your life. But if you try to hide that imperfections, we are looking for validation by man and yourself. Before, I used to ask people, how was my sermon? I mean, there are sometimes you need to ask for feedbacks. But I learned a very huge thing from Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham often speaks in churches as well. So in one of those churches, he spoke, and it was a powerful message, and he got off the pulpit, and he was walking, and he sat down there, and the lady next to him said, "That was a powerful message, Reverend Graham." You know what Billy told him, or told her? Turned to her and says, "Yes, I know, because the devil told me just after I got off the pulpit." Didn't get that. He told her, just after he finished preaching and he got off, the devil told him that was a great message. And here she was saying it was a great message. What he was trying to communicate is, thank you very much, because God validated me. I don't need the devil or people to tell me that. Is somebody listening to me? But we are human beings. We also need people's validation. But that should not precede the validation from God. Amen? I'm not discounting validation, approval by man, because Jesus himself grew up in grace and favor before God and man. Amen? The approval process comes both sides, but first it should be preceded by God. You're affirmed by God to know that you are a child of God. You're a daughter of God. You are a son of God. Second, you're approved of God. Your approval just simply comes by instant joyful obedience to God. That's a whole other sermon in itself. Third, finally, are you enjoying this stuff?
Yes.
I hope it's not just information alone. It's just because I sensed in my heart that you guys have done so well Not that you need my validation. No matter how much of darkness you see in your marriage, in your circumstances, in your workplace, if you know you've been affirmed by God, if you know you've been validated by God, things may not change around you, but your perspective will change. And that is the place of victory. That is the place of power. Authorized. Authorized. You know, while you're doing the work of God, the enemy uses people of God to undermine the very spiritual authority that God has given you. You know who came to Jesus? Teachers of the law. The Pharisees. By what authority are you doing this? He said, oh yeah, I'll tell you. After you answer this question, by what authority is John baptizing people? They were stuck. If they said this, they will get stoned. If they said that, they will be stoned. Either way. So they just left. They couldn't argue that point. So what happens is sometimes, I mean, the world has become that way, that we have to show some credentials. I'm authorized. Like you have a driver's license. I'm authorized to drive this car or that truck. That authorization. But the reality here is if you're doing God's work, you don't need a card to authorize you. I've already authorized you. Did he not say? Actually, 10 days before he went to the cross, he says something very powerful to his disciples that he had not yet said in the last 3 years of his walk with them. I mean, he has said a lot of things to them. And he chooses that moment, even in that Lord's Supper in the Gospel of Luke. And he says something. He says, I've been longing to have this meal with you. I mean, it's not like Jesus didn't have meals with his disciples. He did. Then he throws a nuclear bomb, which is another story in itself. This is one of your betrayers. And then all the commotion takes place. And then the Lord's Supper, this is my body. And then he says this. And that's what he was longing to share. That's what he was waiting to share. At the Lord's Supper, yes, it is something that God gave us, but there was something far more. Far more. And that's where the authorization took place. He looked at the disciples and said this, one-liner, but it speaks volumes. Upon you, I confer a kingdom. There were no graduation certificates. There was no putting a stole on you and saying, and made a sign of the cross before he went to the cross. Nothing. Upon you, I confer a kingdom. Today, you're in the house of God. I don't care whether you're a great-great-grandmother or father. I don't care whether you're retired or you're just 15 years old. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're in the house of God. If today you hear what I say and hear it as though the Lord is speaking, upon you I confer a kingdom. That means He's given each one of us a breath of influence, a breath of authority. And he says, I'm giving you this authority, this ministry, this purpose in your life. I'm giving you this purpose. I've spent 3 years with you. I didn't mean to share this, but I will share this. I just felt I need to. I was born in a country called Myanmar, which is going through a very difficult time at this moment. I had no way of making these two decisions. It's called Sovereign Foundations. I couldn't choose who my parents were and where I should be born. That was sovereign. That was God. When I turned 60, I went to my birthplace. I actually found the home that I was born in. It was dilapidated, fully locked up. Everything was crumbling. Big place, huge place. I went in there, but the railways were taking care of the yard. That's it, but the house was itself chained up. So I went and looked at the pictures that I took with me to make sure whether it's the same house. And I came back. I shut the gate, and I looked at the house. I said, Lord, these two decisions I couldn't make, but here I am. I think I've finished everything that you've asked me to do. Is there something that you want to give me or tell me, or is there a new commission? When I was 60, I was 8 years ago. And this is what I got from the Lord. And I became extremely silent after that. He said, Sam, I brought you here after 60 because I have prepared you for 60 years. No, you haven't finished. All your titles, all what you've done is part of the preparation. But now I'm giving you a commission. And today, I can't tell you how excited I am. And every day, I'm filled with an expectancy of what God might do while I'm available to him. He told me. So you see, your purpose has been preceded before your conception. God had already purposed for your life something even before you were born. I wasn't born and then I said, I looked at God and God was saying, oh my goodness, I created Sam, what should I do with him? No, he created a purpose and then created me for that purpose. My purpose may be similar to some people, but it is exclusive for me. He said, for 60 years I prepared you for this. You see, your assignment is preceded by preparation. Your purpose is preceded by your conception, but your assignment is preceded by preparation. God is preparing us for that purpose. For some people, it's just one thing. If they do that one thing, you've done it. And all you have to do is wait for your moment to go to heaven and say, welcome into the kingdom, my good and faithful servant, because you have walked in that authority to fulfill that purpose. Is somebody listening to me? Your purpose is not to compare somebody else's purpose or gifting or talent, because we are all equipped equal to the task that God has given us. God will never ask you to do something that you're not equipped for. And that equipping is coming from God himself. Yes, we have all the human elements involved, but God arranges and orchestrates that. Is somebody listening to me? 60 years. I thought I'd done a lot. For real. I thought I'd done a lot. Pride had set into my heart. I said, gee, I've done this. I've done that.
What have you done?
That condescending attitude, everything crumbled at that moment. Because I had no idea that God actually said, I prepared you for 60 years. Then I understood Caleb. He was preparing Caleb when he was 80 years to take the hill country. He had gone through a lot of experiences. He's been through wars, he's been to this, he's been to that, and everything all along he had that hill country. Give me this hill country at 80 years old. I don't care how old you are or what you've done. I don't care whether you're a nurse, a teacher, or a roadside mechanic. It doesn't matter. Whoever you are, or even a high school dropout, so what? You're only, people look down upon you, oh, you're a high school dropout, but they don't realize what you're about to do is that even a rocket scientist cannot figure out. Is somebody listening to me? Amen? Because God is not a respecter of a person or their gifts or talents. God loves you who you are for what you are. And you're authorized by God. The moment you undermine your own spiritual authority because of the vices, you've played into the hands of the enemy. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Today. Right now. Wherever you are. From whichever background you've come from whatever experiences you've had, good, bad, and ugly, all of them have shaped, for all things have worked together. They all come together for this one thing, to be authorized by God to do that which God has called you, a purpose. Here's the good news. In Gospel of Mark, it says this, God, Jesus has said, go into what? All the world. And then what? Preach the gospel to every creature. There is the all and there is the every. Hello? Are you with me so far? In God's sight, all and every is the same value. So today, if some Louis Palau guy, or somebody walks into the church, or Reinhard Bonnke is going to be with the Lord, or whoever you think big names who have millions of audiences in front of them that they're preaching, you give special status and honor and everything. But that's, God has given certain people a certain breadth of a ministry. But for there's a person called Joe who works in a gas station and he's there every day and he's looking at certain clients or certain customers who come on a regular basis to that same gas station and he knows them personally by face and he's working on them talking about Jesus one at a time. Because at the end of the day, whether you've spoken to millions or to one person, we all get the same pay. I mean, go figure, that's God's economy. I mean, you come 6 o'clock in the morning and work all day long, and the guy comes at 12 o'clock, and then the guy comes 1 hour before, and he gets the same pay. He said, that's not fair. He says, shut up, I'm the owner. I can give anybody what I want. Y'all with me? Whether you speak to 8 million or you speak to one person, in God's sight, it's the same value. You're not valued higher just because you got a charisma in speaking, and then you've see this Joe working like a beaver, hard, one-on-one, goes on his knees every night, prays for this person, and tries to preach the gospel to that person gets the same reward of this person. Ah, now you're trying to throw theology at me. You're saying, what about the jewels in the crown, right? Hello? Some people have extra jewels. But you haven't read your Bible. What does it say in the book of Revelations? When you come to the throne, you throw your crowns off. And it never says you pick it back and take it to your mansion to put it on display. You just cast your crowns. So what value it is for me? I don't care whether I have one extra or two extra jewels or no jewels at all. It's all going to be cast down on the throne. Is somebody listening to me? Say, Sam. Speak to us more. Because here in this world, especially in America, we reward achievements. God does not reward achievements. He rewards obedience. Simple, whether it is this breath or this breath, we are all equal in the sight of God. We are not made anyone bigger or smaller because of the breadth of ministry. I don't care whether you're a mega church or a small church with 40 people in it. You get the same reward. Is somebody listening to me? I don't care whether you think the church across has got so much of this to offer. It does not matter. What matters is, are you in obedience to God and working within the authority that God has placed upon your life as a mantle that he has given each one of you? Amen. We are all affirmed, approved, and authorized. It doesn't matter. That's what makes it powerful to go across the street, because we are authorized. And that one soul is equal to getting 40,000 souls in one night. In God's sight, same value. So, I'm going to close. And in this closing, I want you to hear directly from the Holy Spirit that you're special, you're unique. Wow, can you hear the loud thunder voice of God? I want you to know you're not anything less than anybody. Is that me? Happy birthday. Merry Christmas. Father, visit us this morning and speak to your sons and daughters that they would have a revelatory experience of sonship and daughtership. Their worth and value is not placed in how much they know or what they've achieved. Their worth and value is who they are in you. And today, God, I break that lie over everyone's life, including mine. For far too long, we believed that lie. And today, we stand in that freedom that we are children of God. When bad things happen, it's not because we did something wrong. It's because God has allowed us not beyond that we can handle, so that we can see God's heart even more of his passionate, burning love for us. Thank you, Lord. We don't need to be validated by people, but by you. And thank you, Lord, that we are authorized, whether it's one person across the street or going through the other side of the world to preach to a whole village. We are all authorized by you, God. At the end of the day, same pay. I know we are in social distancing and all of that. We may not have the ability to come forward. But if you feel you need a touch from the Holy Spirit to visit you this morning, to give you a deep sense of your self-worth in God, or for you to break from the chain of being validated by people, nothing wrong with that, but you need the validation of God. And for you to receive the hearing upon your life, upon you, I've conferred a kingdom. If you are in any one of those categories, please stand, because in within me there is no power, but I'm going to pray for you specifically. You just stand right now, and I want to pray for you. Father, here are your children, O Lord, who are standing in this holy place. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit will permeate into the entire being from where they live life in emotions and the mind into their heart, where they know the real truth resides, and into the spirit, the inner man. It will permeate, your word will permeate and bring us a new understanding of who you are and who we are. Surround, Lord, surround us with grace. Surround us with that enabling power. That this day forward, we will not yield to the lie of the devil, the lies that people have spoken, that we have made it truth in our life. We dismiss that in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I pray a blessing to come upon New Crossing, upon every single one who stood up and not, into their household. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Craig and Jill.